Gabby.
And I'm Liska.
And this is
Cries in a Region,
a podcast about Scam and all of its parallel universes.
Now, live and in person again.
I know! It's like so weird. I'm like looking at Liska.
Post-vaccination.
And I'm like, oh my god.
We had a little mini celebration.
Yes, we did.
Lunch conjunction with
birthday, yeah, you can say birthday.
Yeah, is it a secret? I don't know if it's not a secret. There's no reason for birthdays to be secret.
Yeah, so it's my birthday yesterday, so, yeah, it's yesterday. I'm like, what day is it? Yeah, it was yesterday.
I do think pandemic time is going to be with us for a while. Like, right? I have not been able to get back into, like, a normal sense of time. I feel like every minute is ticking by at hyper speed suddenly, or not at all. But like, sorry, rather after a year and a half of like not at all, now it's just like, how is it 3 o'clock already? Like, I can't fit everything.
And I totally get it. Like, my college roommate just texted me happy birthday and she was like, I'm so sorry, I still have no concept of time. And yeah. I was like, it's okay, don't worry about it.
And I can't tell if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, some part of me just wants to be like, you know, throw away the clocks. I was reading something about pioneer women, doesn't matter, like,
yeah,
like moving out west, and suddenly it occurred to me, I was like, they didn't have clocks. Like, I wonder what, I mean, they had clocks, but it wasn't like they were always,
yeah,
looking at the time the way we are. I was like, I wonder what the concept of time, and I wonder if that was actually healthier than our obsession with, like,
it's so interesting to think about, like, early pandemic versus now and, like, where we were all, like, mentally and whatever. I haven't watched it yet, but one of my on the to-do list to watch is Mythic Quest, which is an Apple TV show, because my weakness is that I love all Apple TV shows. Like,
you mentioned this.
Like, I absolutely, like, I kept praising For All Mankind so much. My brother was like, where can I watch it? And I was like, Apple TV. And he was like, how? And I was like,
wait, you haven't told me about For All Mankind.
Oh, I haven't?
No.
Oh.
You told me about...
Oh, I told you a little bit about it on, but it was on via text message.
Oh, okay.
Via WhatsApp situation.
I think I didn't connect it with the, what show it is.
It's the space... ladies. Yes. Well, it's not space ladies only. There's a lot of man pain in it, too. In fact, you could say that that's what the first couple of episodes are about, and you're like, I don't want to watch another show about man pain in space. I already had to watch, like, 5 movies about that in the last 5 years, including the Brad Pitt one, Ad Astra?
Yes, and then there was is it Ryan Gosling is in one of
them? Yeah, First Man.
Yes, yeah. Even has man in the title. First Man.
But I really, really like it. Someone on Twitter was like, can I just, like, start the second season? Like, do I have to watch the first one? Everyone's like, no, you don't understand. They're so good at season finales. Like, I don't know if, like, maybe you can watch, like, halfway through season one. But, like, you have to do, like, they're so good at the build-up.
Okay. God damn it, another show for the list.
So they have Mythic Quest. And the reason that I was thinking about it is because Mythic Quest, from what I understand from all my critic friends, I don't have critic friends, but they're the people I follow on Twitter that I think are my friends. And they said that the only good pandemic episode made in all of television was the Mythic Quest one. And I guess one of them rewatched it today, and he was like, it's such a time capsule in, like, this spirit of who we were, like, as people. There's something about it that it's, like, so rare. Like, he was like, not only is the episode good, but it really is just, like, wow. Like, can you believe, like, that's where we were, like, at a certain point in time?
As soon as you said it, I felt this, like, chill go down my back, and I'm like, I'm not ready to watch it. Which reminds me of how I felt when I tried looking at the What the Fuck Down.
Yeah.
Which we can, like, you know, transition maybe. But, like, yeah, I tried looking at the What the Fuck Down clips, like, way long ago, and I texted you, and I was like, I can't do it. It's too traumatic. But I feel okay with watching that now.
Yeah, it's like one of my criticisms of this season of Grey's Anatomy is that it's so depressing. But it's about COVID, so I'm like, I don't know what else you can do.
I know, they literally work in a hospital.
So I, like, I understand why it's so depressing, but I'm also like, it's so depressing.
Too much real life, stop it.
Well, no, not only is it depressing, then the showrunner was like, and I'm going to kill people off for non-COVID related reasons, characters that
you love.
Oh, come
on.
Yeah, no.
She has the perfect reason to just, like, off whoever she wants.
Krista was like, I went on a walk. And then it just had to happen. He had to die.
Car accident?
No, he gets...
Falling no, a I just, piano out I of a window?
No, I need... So, this same TV critic decided that they were going to watch Grey's Anatomy this season, even though they hadn't watched it in a couple seasons, because she's really into, like, kind of depressing stuff. And she was like, hey, I heard that this season Meredith is, like, dying the entire season and meeting people in heaven and, like, beach heaven. And I was like, yeah. And so, like, Meredith has COVID the entire season, and she's basically in this, like, limbo. That's this beach, so they could shoot, like, outside.
Right.
Where
right.
she, like, okay, clever. Where she, like, meets everyone who's basically ever died on Grey's and kind of has to decide whether she wants to live or die.
Wow.
And
that's some heavy shit.
I mean, whatever. Ellen was just, like, on a bed for the entire season making, like, $20 million a season.
Yeah,
good for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really funny when to hear her sort of catch up with some things, like, and then I think this guy that Meredith dated, possibly this Italian guy, got stabbed by a child trafficker. And it's like, yep, that's it. Anyway, today, we haven't really said what we're doing.
Hinted at it.
You've hinted at it. Yeah, we're doing What the Fuck, Season 3, which is a favorite for a lot of people. I have complicated feelings about it.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
But we can talk about that. It. Well, yeah, I just like the What the Fuck writers aren't my favorite writers. And it was really interesting because, you know, we loved season two so much. But part of my hesitation with am I actually going to like season two is because I already in season three could see some of the flaws. And I hadn't seen season two yet. So when we went back.
Flaws of
the writers.
The writers, got it. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Some
yes,
flaws yes. of the writers. Uh-huh, so I was uh-huh. a little afraid whether or not I was actually going to like season two.
Got it, yeah.
Which we all know we did.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about this. In that, like, yeah, I mean, we even mentioned it on the show that, like, the seasons in the OG are, like, less perfect. I think I tend to, well, at least, like, that is, I think, part of the reason why I loved What the Fuck Season 2 is that it was, like, improving upon things that I had griped about in the OG and in a lot of the other versions as well. But then this one has a very high bar. Like,
yeah.
This storylines... have a very high bar, and it's not just the OG. There's David and Mateo, which is, like, hard to beat. Like,
yeah.
There are several excellent versions of this
exactly.
story.
Exactly, and I think, so that's kind of where I was at, too, where I was like, there's nothing, at least in my opinion, there's nothing, okay, there are a couple of things I don't love, but there's nothing wrong, per se, with this season. It's just, to me, when I compare it with some of the other ones, it just is not up to par, and we can...
Yeah.
Discuss as to why that is. I think the characters themselves are great. Like, I think Robbie is a very specific, very gentle
yes, he is.
Version of Isaac, and I like him a lot.
Yeah.
And Sander is also very, very popular online.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. We can talk about it somewhat. Oh, before we do, uh-huh. though, because I was talking to my cousin, and I was like, did you listen to our episode with Alter Love? And she was like, no, you... Have you mentioned it on the podcast? I was like, we have not recorded since we recorded with them.
Yes. Go ahead.
So, yes.
And then this episode will come out in, like, 2 months, just yeah. so we're clear.
there is probably at a this time old episode of Alt or Love, the other scam podcast, where we basically had a really nice chat. Just sort of recapping or sharing our thoughts about all of OG Scam as a whole. And it was a really fun talk, so you
yeah.
should go to their feed, because that's where it's at.
They are super fun and cool, and, like, it was just delightful to talk about all that stuff and, like, revisit and hear like, fresh perspectives. Because, like, in our friend group, we're basically the only two people who are sort of dedicatedly watch Scam, and, like, we've brought in friends who've watched it with us, but it was really fun to talk about it with other people who really love it, so.
Yeah, I, it's really the friends you make along the way.
Yeah.
So that was really great, and I don't know that there are particularly, like, I feel like there's not that many news per se. It's so weird because now that... So right now, again, this is going to be over by the time this comes out. Now, right now, Scam France season 8.
My and, God, they're just going.
And What the Fuck season 5 are both airing.
Uh-huh.
And they are, unless we hear of something in the next couple of weeks, which I'm really hoping we hear something from Druk, it could be it. this could be it for the Scowm remix. So okay. We're definitely at an interesting place, I think, for at least the when it comes to the official remix.
Right, that's why I mentioned those, the two unofficial ones. Okay, I have a hard time imagining a world where, like, Scowm isn't going on.
Yeah, right? And so we haven't even met the new Scowm France gang, like you and I.
Well, I guess Arthur's not new. No.
Yeah. This is like
he was new to me, but not...
No. This is, like, the new friend group. And right. Where we're gonna get, like, Lola, and then Tiff, and then Bilal. I don't know how to say it. I've only seen it on Twitter and Tumblr. He seems very charming. And from little, absolutely no context, his season seems to be, like, about... he and his little brother seem to be homeless or have money issues or that seems to be like sort of
I'm into it.
From what I've seen it seems like a very interesting season, so yeah, I'm excited for that.
Okay. We're not going to turn into the All French podcast, right? Because
no, we have a schedule.
You've interspersed the French season.
We've had a schedule. You have a schedule.
Yeah, at some point, like, it occurred to us, if we don't start talking about Scowm France soon, by the end of this, we're just going to be, like, the all-French show, so...
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that we do get news about Drouk. That's really the one that's more on the horizon. I don't know that Scowm France is going to go beyond 8. 8 is a very respectable number, guys.
8 is impressive. Extremely impressive.
But yeah.
And what the fuck, also feeling like 5 is going to be...
Yeah, the end.
It.
Yeah,
as far as... You know what? Because you've told me 5 has gotten, like, better reviews than 4.
Well, until, like, last week.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't want to talk about it too much. Everyone loves the Eunice character, like the, the Yousef character. Uh-huh. His name is Eunice. And Yasmina herself, and they gave her a... sort of friend who's Muslim, Aisha, and so she's great too, so that's the part that I like.
Got it. I've heard like bits and pieces of the other stuff, so we'll save that juicy morsel
when we actually talk about it. Because I'm like, I'm gonna stop talking about stuff that's so if I keep it vague, it's okay. And I think that's kind of it in terms of
updates.
It's so weird to think that been around for so long at this point.
I just kind of imagine that, like, country after country would pick it up and it would just be an ongoing thing, but...
Yep.
We'll see.
So...
Should we dive into...
Yeah, let's dive into it. We should just start talking about Robbie, I think.
Yes, I think it's a good place to start. I think I would just say that, like, overall, my feeling towards the season... I know people like it, but overall, I can't say I didn't like it, but I am very lukewarm towards it, and I have some thoughts about why that is. There's definitely things I don't like, which we'll get into.
Yeah. So I was going to say, watching it live, because I watched this one live, was really fun, even as there were things that I liked, and then now rewatching it, I wouldn't say that my feelings because I think when I watched Scowm France as a whole, I was like, actually, this all comes together really well.
Uh-huh.
Whereas here, I was like, I mean, I still enjoy it, but I don't know that I've revised my earlier feelings of... Like, I was a little afraid to talk about the season because I knew that people really love it.
Yeah.
And that's fine, and we've talked about why there's things that connect to people more than others.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad season, but yeah, I don't know, I just... It doesn't get... me the same way.
Well, one of the things I guess that does really work well about it, I guess we could start there, is Robbie.
Yes.
Robbie.
I know. I was going to be like, disclaimer, I'm going to say everyone's name's wrong. I kept being like, Robert.
Like Robert, but like Robert, but like with a fancy...
Robert.
I was very skeptical of that actor in the prior two seasons. I was like, what is his gonna season be like? And you reassured me, and you were right. I think he really comes through just like the minute his season starts.
What is that? Fireworks.
This has never happened before. Okay. All right, back to... Yeah, so I the minute his season starts, I was very like... This kid is good. I love his look. Gentle is a perfect word for him.
He's so... And that's what part of what I was doing is, like, thinking about all the Isaks. And I was like, he really is... he's so, yeah, gentle and nice. And he's just, like, he's, like, a good boy. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. He, like, does the dishes without being asked.
And yeah, he is, like, a small, like, little hurt puppy. And yes. You just want to, like, it's going to be okay.
Can I make one really funny note? This is the only season he has short hair. So I always pictured him with long hair, and he has long hair basically every, like, he has long hair again now, just like he had in season one. Uh-huh. And I felt like they were like, it's your season, you need a haircut. And he looks really cute, but then at the same time, I'm always like, I just, the long hair just feels like part of who he is.
More him.
Yeah.
I was, like, glad they cut it, because I wasn't, that was a thing I was not liking about him in the first two seasons. I think it, like, made him feel older or something.
Yeah.
But now that you say that, it does make him stand out a little bit. Like, it made him a little bit more unique.
Yeah.
That I think might have been good, so I don't know. Overall, as a character, though, I noticed throughout, was, like, he's a character who's very, he's a very passive character, actually.
Yeah, he is.
And I think that's part of why the lukewarmness towards the show in general, I just feel like all along the way, there's people who are, like, totally willing to help him. Like, Jens helps him, Milan helps him, Senna helps him, like, everybody along the way is like, come here, like, come under my wing. And
I think he was, like, in a lot of ways, the most, like, typical teenager, well-adjusted, even though he wasn't. But, like, his responses to me felt like, oh, this is a teenager who's going through a very particular hard time.
That's such a good point.
You know? So, yes. Like, so to me, I understand what you're saying, but they felt like, like, these, like, just kind of, like, normal outbursts or anything. And then he would, like, he would get angry, and then he would immediately apologize 5 seconds later, right?
That's such a good point. Yeah, he's moody exactly the way a teenager who, or, and like, when he's dealing with things that are too big for him, and then he, even the way he rejects people's friendship at first, and, like, shuts down, even the way when, like, Zoe asks him to move in, and just the way he's immediately like, ugh.
And okay. then she's, yeah, well, and it, that moment too, she's like, and I hope everything's okay with your mom. And she's like, he's like, don't worry about it. It's like, yeah. But thank you.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, it's a really good, okay.
So that's kind of how I read him, so I understand. And so I was like, yeah, and I'm not saying he's not going through a lot, but he seems like ultimately, and I'm so sad we never get to see the mom, it seems like she really is a sort of, like, support for him, that he's always kind of had that in the background, and kind of, even though they've had issues and he recognizes that, it's like when you take that away from him, he's trying to scramble and figure out how to deal with the world right now, that this, his one certainty in life is sort of not there, right?
In fact, now that you say that, I wish we had gotten more specificity on both the parents
and their relationship. I agree.
It's kept sort of to the, like, realm of she has a mental illness, she's checked herself in.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's better, sometimes he's more worried about her. The dad seems absentee.
Even before, I think, is the implication.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you have to go live with him now because your mom's out of the picture.
I did like the stakes of that. Like,
yes, I did too.
Yeah, because it's like part of a good setup. But yeah, I do wish that had been a little bit more specific. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I really liked about him, and then I was trying to think about all of the other Isaks, and so I'm going to ask you, it's like, he is the most introverted of them, I think. He was like, to me, he was like, the way that he would be in, like, a group setting and then be by himself, like, listening to music.
That's true.
I'd be like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a real, I hesitate to use the word loner. I don't think he's a loner, but he is someone who, when, in fact, there's that line when he's at the beach, when he's by himself, and he says something like, oh, it just got too chaotic, I think is the line, or it got too busy, I can't quite remember. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a very specific kind of reaction to too many people I don't know, I'm just going to retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it. Mateo's pretty introverted, but in a different way. Like, he kind of, maybe because he's stoned all the time, he kind of doesn't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
And Isak, I think, is actually, like, not that introverted. He's very, like, internal.
That's the one that because I was like, he's definitely internal. We've talked about that. That's one of his strengths. I mean, as a character.
Right. I'm trying to remember Luca and
Lucas? I don't know. I feel like he could. I would have to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, Shay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's another one? I'm blanking out on, like, any other countries.
Well, technically,
what's the Italian guy's name?
Martino?
Martino. I was trying to remember. Yes. That one's harder because they're so much older.
They're so much older, right? Yeah.
It's hard to compare. It's like apples and oranges.
And then, in Spain, where it gets...
She's definitely not.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, she's the opposite. So, yeah, he's definitely, like, if not the, then certainly...
The most,
in
yeah.
In that, like, furthest yeah. category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting to... Because I did also recognize what you were saying, that everyone is really trying to help him. And I thought that was one of the strengths, sort of everyone, sort of...
It was... Nice to see.
Yeah. Well,
it balanced out some of the shittiness
yeah,
to see.
As I was gonna, yeah, that's why I'm, like, trying to space everything out, because I'm, like, some of my favorite things are...
How he almost, like, binds the collective together.
Yes!
And even friend groups across the... And I thought it was relatable, if a little annoying, in a way that, like, your little brother is annoying, but so with love, that he was so constantly afraid of people's reactions, and yeah. yet, like, except for a notable exception, everyone, like, Jens immediately is like, yeah, Sene, Milan, of course, you know, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, even his father, you know.
Even so his father,
like,
yeah.
So, well, I was like, you know, like, can we, he's so self-conscious about
he's
it.
He's so self-conscious,
which
yeah.
I guess is part of the... introvertedness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's so self-conscious. And then what was the other thing that I wanted to mention? Do you just want to kind of go straight into them as a couple, and then maybe that way we talk
yeah.
about Sander?
We'll start getting into more.
So yeah, so I think officially their shipper name now is Sobe. So like S-O-B-E.
Yeah.
For a while, people were trying to make Rosander happen, but I don't know why I like Sobe more, and that's like, yeah.
Rosander sounds like a character name in another show or something.
But anyway, yeah. So that's them. People also really like them. They have lots of fic, as far as I know. But this is how I know that I didn't fully connect with them, because I have not read any of the fic.
Wow. Okay, that's really saying something.
Whereas, yeah.
Yeah, connecting is, I think, the key word. That's exactly what I wrote, which is, why am I not connecting with this couple? It's not that I dislike them as a couple. I was just not that into it. And then the more they kept amping up the drama, the less I was engaged.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so we're gonna get to that soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I would like to say that I do like Sander. I think he's really cute. I like his David Bowie obsession.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute. There was a very funny post that, because I always try to see what did I actually reblog about that season in my Tumblr. And so there was like, remember when we saw, when we were like, oh, he's a photographer, so he's going to take pictures of Robbie. And then it turned out that he was a fucking Michelangelo.
Yeah. There's that one picture when Robbie shows up at his room towards the end, and there's this like giant portrait of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, this kid should be getting paid.
Right?
Like, why is he in school? What's going on? Yeah.
So I thought that was
hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it, I was thinking about the pacing of it, because we don't meet him until episode 3. We do know, like, I don't know if you noticed that. We noticed that he was in the first episode in the taking picture of him. We recognize him.
Right.
And then in the skate, he's also in the skate park. I think in the second episode, he like walks by.
That's so weird. I did notice him there. Yeah, I think I did. I can't remember. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
But we don't really meet him until the third episode, which is not like we get that much of Evan, but we do see him. And
mm-hmm.
I think that presence, sort of building that mystique, and why this is this turning point
yeah.
for, like, that's, this is why we're walking into the story now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't go back and, like, check on the timeline of the first episodes of the OG, but... I super was aware that 2 episodes had gone by and no Evan character had been introduced. And I was like, okay, when are we getting to the story now? It was getting a little... And I think that's part of the reason why I didn't connect, honestly. Because,
that's what I mean.
I
think it really does help build that mystique, and and you kind of see that attraction even from,
yes.
like, the distance
because
of it.
Because when they do connect, then it felt a little rushed, because I was like...
And I really like the scene where, like, the supermarket scene and, like, all of that.
Yeah.
But it's so fast.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it helps in establishing who Sander is.
Right.
Like, hey.
His sort of, like, yeah. high energy.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I just met you. Let's go to the supermarket together.
Yeah, no boundaries.
Sorry I slammed you into some boxes. Yeah. Let's keep walking. And so, like, I like the energy of those, but it does, like, you don't have any time to process anything, yeah. which puts you a little bit where Robbie's at, but then some of the emotional beats later, then you don't have the time to sort of linger on them. Like, when he's revealed to be Britt's boyfriend, this isn't like, oh my god.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. Just none of those emotional beats, I think, land, and, I mean, yes, it puts you kind of in Robbie's shoes, because he's just meeting him, but, like, Isak was aware of Evan. Like, he saw him from across the room kind yeah. of thing, and I think it would have really, really, really helped for them to have, like, eyes chemistry kind
yeah,
of
yeah, even though, again, and then we have that way, like, where he himself, like, tells Robbie, I was there when you were doing the tagging, whatever, situation.
But it felt
it's not, very, yeah, it's not the same thing as, it, like, experiencing it.
It felt very showing, sorry, telling, not showing. Showing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this season does that a lot, with a lot of different
mm-hmm.
storylines and elements, that it felt very like, we're just going to tell you everything that's happening exactly as it's happening. And
that's,
there wasn't
that's
a
little,
lot of...
Yeah, that's a little bit, I think. And I think, again, because season three is held to this standard, because it does deserve it, and because it deals in multiple levels,
mm-hmm.
here it's a little bit too much in your face, and then it's like, oh, did you not get it? Did you not get it?
Yes,
well,
totally.
Well, then here's a hate crime.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But let's not get there yet.
Yeah.
but yeah, off camera, I don't know, off mic, I was telling you the reveal about how Britt is, like, the writer's least favorite person. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, so I did not connect that Britt is also Jens's ex, I guess Ingrid in OG.
Yeah.
Did not connect that.
That's why Yana kept being like, I talked to Britt and she said this and that.
So they kept mentioning Britt and I was like, what the fuck is Britt? And then when we meet her, I was like, oh, she's the Sonya character. Okay, so somehow they know her, fine. And then, so I still did not, like, you blew my mind when you told me that, like, 10 minutes ago. And I already did not like the choice they made to, because part of what makes that, the Evan-Sonya relationship really good and interesting, I think, and unusual, is that they are kind of childhood sweethearts.
And the history, exactly.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I hate, it's, I mean, I know we haven't even talked about the hate crime, but it's probably what my least favorite, like, change, because I'm like, I don't understand where she's coming from. This is a 6-month relationship. There's not this, like, history.
Why is she insane about him? She comes off as even more insane now, especially now that I know who she is. And so it's just weird, and
I don't like it, and I think it's lazy for the writers to use this character over and over for whatever purposes. There's absolutely no consistency in this character. She's in she's in 5 seasons of this fucking show, and she's there to be evil and inconsistent. Like, what type of evil do you need this season? Like,
boom.
Ugh.
Mic drop, walk away. Yeah, that's
and so I feel sorry for her, because I think the character deserves better. Like, I see, like, Scam España, who I think eventually the actress can come back, but, like, they were like, we're gonna be friends again. Or
in every version, I think Eva and her kind of make
to different levels,
yeah. And sometimes there's still sort of, like, frostiness there, and sometimes they're just, like, buddies, but
yeah.
Like, don't use her again in other storylines. Like, it makes everything feel fake. Like, it just makes
yeah.
it too connected. I don't understand why they did it or what they thought they were gaining by it. I can't even imagine a reason other than, like, not having to hire another actor.
Yeah, that's my thing over and over. That's why I was like, was the casting director like, no. Like,
like we're done with our budget? But then, like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's insane. So I'm sorry for Britt, but also I hate you. And I have come so far when it comes to the Sonja characters. Like, I, like, have a 100% switch my allegiance in that I see the hurt. I see where
yeah.
they're coming from.
But does not apply here.
Does not apply here. I was just like, I think, what, like, did I write? It was like, it's a 6-month relationship.
Yeah.
I hate you all.
Yeah. So I had, like, first I wrote, okay, so the first scene where I was like, that was super weird, is the paintballing. Is that what, like, when they paintball on the beach that mm-hmm. they're playing? Mm-hmm. Sander just, like, walks up to her and blasts her in the back, and she just, like, walks up, and I was like, what the fuck was that? That was such a weird scene. I'm super...
It is a weird scene, and, like... It's one of those moments where I understand her being upset because that really hurts.
Yeah, and it's totally, like, what is happening? But kind of later they say, or he says, we've just been getting each other's nerves, and in retrospect, that makes that action make a lot of sense, but it also just makes her character even dumber and weaker
Yeah,
somehow.
It's weird. It's super weird. It's
like,
a
this
weird...
guy is literally vaguely abusive, like, why? And you're obsessed with him to the point of... So then the breakup that happens, not even the breakup, the one on the street when they're just, like, yelling at each other, and I was like, okay, first of all, why are we in, like, AM drama? I mean, sorry, AM soap opera.
Yeah.
Why are they just, like, yelling in the street, breaking up? I was like, what is happening? And then the third one is, like, why is such a bitch later? I just wrote, why?
Yeah, like, why is he such a fucking bitch? I'm sorry, Brit. Like, I'm sure you're lovely in real life. Like, clearly the cast likes having you around. Someone does. On that... on the what the fuck team. But I don't get it. It's lazy writing. And that's a lot of what I see here. It's a lot of lazy writing.
It really detrimentally impacts the season overall, I think. Even without knowing that she's that character, just the way she is written in this season, if you don't recognize her as Brit from season one, I think it really her presence and the way she's characterized really hurts everything overall. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring it back to them.
Okay, I guess.
So when it comes back to them, I do, and then this comes back to what we were saying about, like, how, like, Robbie's personality, and, like, I do really like the sort of, like, opposites energy attracts uh-huh. situation. Uh-huh. I do think that you see sort of this balance each other out, sort of pushing each other in interesting ways. I wish that we would see more of Robbie's impact on Xander.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's, like, hints of it, but, mm-hmm. like, so, for example, it makes me think weirdly of Scam France, where I do think that you do see a bit more of a balance of that give and take of the two of them.
Yeah.
So I liked seeing this different side of Robbie. I thought that was great, and I really liked that, and I can see the connection, but, yeah, I it was one of my things where I was like, oh, I see what they see in each other, but...
So I'll say this, I see the attraction in each other. They're both very attractive people. Yeah. I get it. I personally, when Sander's introduced, I had a really negative reaction
really?
To his like little prank. I don't know why. I just did not connect with it.
Okay.
The supermarket.
Sierra Stars Booking.com.
Yeah. I was okay with it, like, as it kept going.
Okay, I do actually like Sierra
as
Stars.
As a running joke, I liked it, but just in that very, very scene. And then, so I was a little bit, like, off my footing in the supermarket scene, though he does, like, amp up the charm, so that helps. That helped me. I did warm up to him
To me, well, see, like, for example, to me, where he's, like, he scans Robbie, and he's like, well, that's expensive.
Yes, that was really cute. That was really cute, yeah. I think, okay, one thing about, I guess this is kind of, like, veering into his character slash in the story narrative overall, but, like, I feel dumb saying this, but three quarters of the way through the season, I was like, are they not doing the bipolar storyline?
Okay, so there's sort of two things that I was like, and this comes back to, like, Julie and what she does. It's, like, I feel like they do a really bad job of setting things up.
Wait, OG or this one?
No, this one.
Yes, okay,
like,
yeah.
So when it comes to him being bipolar, and when it comes to Robbie not sleeping, I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Where did that come from? Okay, I guess he's not sleeping. Like, fine. And the funny thing is, we have so much... One thing the show does really, really well is give us which not all the versions do, is give us that, like, just kind of fun hanging out time.
Yeah.
Group chemistry, but or even whether it's two people or the bigger groups.
Yeah.
And just, it's always good energy, and, like, it just makes everything gel together, and they have ample opportunity is my point.
Yeah, I had forgotten because I watched it clip by clip how sort of gimmicky the seaside episode is. I was like Like, I was like, I forgot that we had, like, the prank. And then the zombie party. And then the paintball.
There was a lot of, I will say, okay, just taking a step back. One thing about this show, the minute it started with that, like, kind of very cool shot going through Antwerp, and the, I believe, Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy is playing, which I haven't heard since I was in high school, probably.
I did really like the music in this season.
It's really good, yeah. I loved season two as well, so I guess I'm a fan of their soundtrack choices in general. So it's playing, and then they get to the party, and it's really well done, like, excellent stuff. But I will say, immediately, I was like, I like this a lot, but it feels like a teen show, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's an excellent version of it.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like OG. And
do you know how I noticed it? Uh-huh. Because I wasn't screenshotting stuff. So, like, now when I watch, I try to screenshot so I have stuff to post on the Instagram.
Right.
And I was, like, really into the whole thing, and I was watching and taking notes, and I was enjoying it, but we were, like, halfway through, and I was like, shit, I haven't screenshot anything.
Right.
Because there wasn't anything that I'm like, oh, this is really... Beautiful.
Like, the closest I would say is maybe I did like some of the scenes Rabe and Jens are sitting on that, like, cement wall looking out of the river, and there's something very industrial about it. That's
yes,
nice.
Yes, yes.
But, like, that's as close as it gets, and I think it's because...
And then I was looking back on it, and I was like, even season two, right, there's specific moments that do call to mind, like, some framing, some, like setups or like settings that I remember, but season three, not as much. And the ones that I do remember are like come from OG, like you know, kissing in a pool.
Yes.
Yeah. you know? Yeah. So I thought that was striking. I was like, oh, okay.
Noticeable. Yeah. Totally noticeable. And I think I maybe was a little bit more aware of it because we have just talked about OG. So I kind of had like a couple of weeks ago was just sort of scrubbing through favorite moments and scenes.
Yeah.
And so, and was, as we talked about in that episode, I was so reminded about how freaking good it is.
Well, the other is because on my desktop, I have the screenshot that I haven't deleted because when we do Druk, I'm going to use it. It's like, I love, look at this framing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so, and this, and Nora's season has, it's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Yeah.
So I'm just very aware of, like, how, it's not trying to be anything other than, like, a really good teen show.
Yeah.
And it's, which is fine.
And it's actually really, really good at that, I think, filmmaker-wise.
Yes.
It's
just, solid.
It's
yeah.
just noticeable in the context of the scam verse, I guess.
I'm going to be completely honest, one of the criticisms that this show has as in general, especially starting this season, and then What the Fuck Down, which we were going to discuss it, but we decided that it deserved its own episode, also we didn't have time, if I'm being honest, is these are all kids, like these actors. Both Rabe and Sander are called Willem in real life. The Willems.
Funny. The Willems.
And there's a lot of nudity and a lot of sex.
There was a liberalness to it.
And a lot of people...
Starting with being
really... Yes. A lot of people really dislike it. And feel like it's like the sexualization of
teenagers.
And it starts with the pool kiss, I would say.
It's hard because I think we live in a world where teens are pretty sexualized, and I mean, not like externally looking in, but I mean they themselves. It's the like internet world and porn is everywhere.
I think the only time I've been uncomfortable is in What the Fuck Down, and so when we get to that we can discuss it.
Why, did they have like cyber sex or something?
Yeah, and I felt like I was watching them have cyber sex and I didn't want to be there.
And you're like, I am venturing into porn.
I don't want to be here. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so on the one hand you like want to like portray their world realistically. One scene that like I thought handled it really well, or one moment even, this is so small, it's when Rabe has just tried to have sex with Noor,
which we haven't talked about,
which we'll get to. And she just kind of comes up and wraps up behind him and says like, oh, it was really hard for me the first time too. And I just liked the sort of simple acknowledgement that she's sexually active, that this is like relatively not a big deal, like not uncommon. Couple of conversations with Jens as well.
I was going to say too, I did want to highlight that I thought they had like really, it's really interesting in contrast, so maybe this is the moment to mention it, like in contrast to this, like this criticism, I do think that it's one of the only shows to have these really honest and frank conversations about sex.
Yeah, and tell you things that no one told me. Like, the first time you do it, if you're, it probably sucks. Like, it would probably suck, especially if you both don't know what you're doing.
And like, from Jens, it was like, Jens was trying to be a good friend.
Yeah.
And he's, like, being completely frank and honest. Yeah. And he's like, as a best friend, because Jens gets criticized a lot, which we can talk about later. Mm. I think as a best friend, he's coming from his... Oh, no, he knows there's something wrong with his friend.
Yeah.
He's trying to piece together with the facts that he has.
Yeah.
And he's coming from his place of his own knowledge and his own history. And
Jens is a little bit like a dude bro. Like, he's not the kind of guy who's gonna, like, be all touchy-feely.
I was gonna say, I think that's why a lot of people have some problems with the brooders, or whatever you call it, with the boy squad. Yeah. Because they're so, such boys.
Such boys. I... At one point, I thought of your line about, is it, which version has, like, where the boy squad has, like, one brain cell and they Drake. Shall it, Drake is Drake, right? I was like, that is even too generous for this group.
Yes!
they don't even have the one.
Yeah, for sure. So, yes, like, I get it. Like, he doesn't do the emotional stuff. He doesn't have, like, the language for it.
Yeah.
So this is him trying to, like...
And yet, he is there for him as much as he can, which I liked a lot. But going back to sexualization, I can see that, like, it's a really fine line where you want to, like, sort of accurately represent their lives, but physically, the actors are being sexualized on screen for also largely teen audiences. And I guess it never felt... too much for me in the show, because it always felt in service of relationships and real emotions. Like, it didn't feel exploited.
I didn't mind it in the pool kiss, because it did feel like what I was saying, where Sander is pushing Robbie out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I saw him more in the hotel scene, where I was like, okay, all right, we're in the shower. All right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're in the shower.
Okay, I forgot about that.
And yeah, I was like, this is what people criticize.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
I was more thinking of, like, them in bed and kissing stuff.
No, that's fine. It's the shower.
It's the shower. yeah, that is actually straight out of, like, an adult movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, all right, sure.
Yeah, okay.
And it's something that we have talked about, because... We've made a point to say, usually the show only does this when the actors are, like, older.
Right, yeah.
So, the fact that here, I think most of them are teens.
They look it, yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable. So, I was just putting that out there.
Yeah,
and letting you prepare for what the fuck down.
Oh my god.
Well, and the thing there is that I think that storyline... works because essentially it's like, we cannot be together because you're living with your mom and I'm living with my mom again, and Sander is a very physical person, whereas Robbie is a little bit less so,
right?
And so it's like them trying to figure out how to make this relationship work, right, when they can't see each other.
Yeah,
in theory works. I don't want to be there.
I don't want to be there for the actual...
Yeah. Let's see. What else?
How did we get to... just about the pool scene really quick. I think part of the reason I liked the nudity is because the pool scene has been done so many times. We've talked about it every single time. And every single time, there's always something fun about it, something new. And in this case, it was like them going in.
I know.
Naked,
I think it is a challenge to find a new angle to this scene each time.
And I think it actually works really well for Sander's character. Especially, it really works really well for his character.
I agree too.
Especially, like, what you just said about him being, like, very physical and, like, a sexual character. But, wait, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. I think they could have worked it in more into his, his whole manner. Basically, I'm trying to go back to the conversation of...
not feeling like you know him enough.
Not feeling I know him enough and not understanding, like, the entire time that I'm watching OG or really any of the versions, no matter what I feel towards the Evan character, something is like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And with Sander, I was like, okay, I did not know, I was, except for the conversation, there's one conversation in the bed, about when he starts to start rambling about something.
Yeah,
and I was like,
he says, like, something about, like, thoughts and...
leading to another thought and can't stop them. And I was like, okay, so I guess they are doing it.
Yeah, so
prior... And then nothing after that.
So prior to that conversation, I was like, kind of how I just called Robbie the most well-adjusted one, I was like, oh, I feel like Sander in a lot of ways is the least dark one.
Yeah.
Or at least... And then I was like, oh, I guess.
Or he appears the least troubled, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which sounds like something I would like, but when I see it in action, I was like, no, go back to the, go back to the troubled.
To the angsty boy.
Yeah, because it like, attracts, it makes you want to know more.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. So, for example, and I don't think I've ever verbalized it until this point. So, when everyone was watching it live, because he was such an enigma, but not necessarily in the way that Evan is an enigma, it's like a different type. Like, people were constantly trying to, like, figure out, kind of like, it was so interesting now that I'm trying to look back on it, like, fill out, like, the darkness in him, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So they would be like, it's so weird that he always is, like, in these, like, stares or whatever when he's on FaceTime or this and that. Is he maybe homeless? Is that why he doesn't want to go to the cops? So there's this whole thing. Oh, we're going to talk about that. So there's this whole thing of trying to figure out, like, kind of fill in these gaps that the show isn't giving you enough.
Yeah. And then never really does.
I know, that's why I hate this fucking storyline. But in a second. Okay, okay. In a second.
Yeah. we keep saying, like, we'll get to that. We'll get for, like, everything.
I think that I would like this season 10 times more if that storyline didn't exist. What other things do I like about the two of them? Again, Sander's fun. I like him. I liked how... And we had talked about this tradition in season one because I looked it up in the notes or something about the little the shoe thing, the Christmas shoe thing.
Oh yeah. I loved I'm such a sucker for those kind of like cultural.
Yeah, so I things. Thought that was cute and sort of like again his like eagerness to form these like moments with Robbie that I think he can kind of tell Robbie doesn't have.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really cute and I liked that.
yeah, I would say like individually there were moments like that that I liked a lot, or you know, generally,
and that's my sense with both of them. It's like, especially Sander, like there's a lot of moments that really work for me.
Yeah, but somehow for me, as overall, and it has to do with that kind of like I just kind of never like got that into it. Is that the back and forth between them, which. And I hate comparing everything always to... But it's not just OG. In other versions, in every version I can think of this season...
Well,
there's a real... Like, every...
So they... Oh, sorry, finish your thought.
I was going to say, well, in every, like, push in one direction, like, let's get together. Like, we can be together. No, we can't. There's always, like, a desire in me to be like, no, more. Like, every push or pull leads to the next push or pull.
Well, I think...
And this one I just felt was very,
is
like...
Is this... Interestingly... There is this instinct where they don't want to make Robbie ever the bad guy.
Yeah, I wonder if
and
it's
sometimes
that
it's really interesting. Yeah. Like, technically, they're the only ones that don't ditch their girlfriends to go kiss because there was a fight before and the girls leave and we see Robbie be concerned about it. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
And stuff like that. And then again, the sort of that, the big break where he goes back to Brit is not because of the mental illness comment. So over and over, it's like kind of this fear of like it's not Robbie's fault, which kind of ties to what you were saying about him being so passive.
Yeah.
But like no character should be perfect.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's part of the journey.
Yeah.
And so it's like this, and then so then they overcompensate by, should we just talk about it? Well, actually, I did want to talk about one more thing, uh-huh. which I also thought was interesting. So yeah, so on this one side, like you say, you have Robbie be so passive. You have all these people reaching out to him. You have all these people that eventually all, thankfully, for the most part, reacted really well to him coming mm-hmm. out and were really, like, accepting. But his internal, like, hatred of himself
okay.
is so strong.
Yeah. And it does... Okay, go sorry.
And those... He fucking... calls Sander like
yeah
he's like you took advantage of me and you like sexually assaulted me.
Yes, okay, yes, go ahead.
And then he like gets mad when Sander doesn't want to talk to him.
Yeah, so yes, okay, so
that's strike one.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, and then it never, I feel like it doesn't get dealt with enough
where yes.
he's so viscerally like almost violently against the idea of being gay that more than any other version of this character that I can think of.
Yep.
We've talked about how Isak strangely is, like, accepting of the fact that he's gay. He's just not gonna deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, okay, like, it is, but I'm just not gonna accept it. I mean, not accept, I don't know. He has a weird, like, dynamic with it. this kid is so, so, so self-hating. And then, like, he has a conversation with... I think it's with Milan. Yeah, and then the next scene, he's, like kissing...
Yeah, Milan, and then and that's one of, like, he has very... He has a lot of really good conversations with Milan, right?
I did love Melania.
So, yeah, I love him. As always. Yeah, and so this was one of the ones, I think this, like, the conversations after where he's, like, you are normal.
Yeah.
Like, what you're, like, you have to accept yourself. Like, if you keep suppressing who you are, you're just going to alienate everyone in your life, right? And I thought it was a very lovely conversation. I think that might be
the I think that's the one. Yeah,
I think that's the one. And so he, like, shows up at his school and he's like, why don't you want to talk to me? And I'm like, Because you used a slur against him.
And then you shut the door in his face and walked away. Like, why well, much more explicit?
And, like, his instinct is not, for the only time the entire season, is not to apologize first.
Yeah. And so then, yeah, and so, and then right after that, they're in bed, and he's, like, climbing on top of him, Robbie's climbing on top of Sander and kissing him, and I was like, whoa, that was really fast, like, very fast acceptance of something that you were really against.
Yeah, and so that's, like, the beats that you're sort of, like, where are they going with that, right? And then immediately, it's, like, again, it's, like, I really watching it one after the other, and I hate to say this because everyone says this, the pacing was so off. So then he goes and he talks to Milan again, and that's when he's like, well, I'm not like you, and that's when he has, like, the Milan is like, you know, I want you to think about what you're actually willing to fight for, right? Like,
yeah, the pride parade. I mean, the pride conversation.
And then 5 seconds later, they get hate crimes.
I know. I was like, okay, we get it. Did you have to, like, hammer that into that boy, into Robin?
Exactly. It's like, it's this criticism from the last 40 years of why are LGBTQ stories about pain?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what that was hammering in.
And it reminds me of that thing you told me, I think we've mentioned this in another episode, where, like, when AIDS stories first started coming out, they were always from the perspective of family. And because that was, like, the rationale was, like, that's what we could relate to. That's what their audience could relate to more. And in this case, it's a little bit of that. It's a little flavor of that where, like, almost, like, the only thing a quote-unquote general audience can relate to is being, like, bigoted behavior or, like, being ostracized or being, like, hurt or afraid. Like, and it's, like, and we can relate to a whole lot of
exactly. And then so you're constantly, I remember as we were watching it live, you're constantly waiting, being like, well, if they did this, it's for a reason. And there's no payoff.
And there's okay, so let's talk about the police thing.
Well, there's no payoff.
Yeah.
And then it's so weird because they're making an explicit parallel between Zoe's situation and Robbie's situation, and then it does not go anywhere.
Absolutely. And why is Sander so against going to the police?
I don't know. We never talk about it.
Honestly, like, if they... I would even completely understand it, given maybe he just has had, like, bad interactions with the police.
If they had at least talked about it, but they never even get a chance to it. This traumatic thing happens to the both of them as a couple, and the reaction of Sander is to run away, which is fine, but then they never talk about it. Yeah. And, like, this is going to be one of the foundational things of their relationship.
Yeah. And then it kind of just goes away.
And then it just goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it drives me insane.
Yeah,
that to me is the part where I'm like, I don't trust the instinct of these writers.
I think other than the Brit storyline, this is the least good thing about the season. Those two things, I don't know which one's worse.
I watched it in fast forward because I couldn't watch it again.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
There's no need for me to go through this.
Yeah.
I don't want them to go through it.
Because it's not like you learn anything out of it.
You don't learn anything out of it. You get, like, another moment with Milan. But guess what? I have 55 great moments with Milan.
And it kind of allows for, I a little, like, cringed when it does the, like, overhead on the two of them on the ground.
But also, guess what? It gives Robbie another chance to not apologize. For, like, again, he's never in the, like, they just had the pride conversation.
Oh, right. So,
like, it's another moment where he does not have to, like, deal with the choices that he's made.
Yeah, yes. Almost the show goes out of its way to a real extreme to back up or to literalize Milan's words, and then he never sort of, like, puts those two things together in an explicit way.
And that happens a couple of times. I can't remember what the other example was that I was thinking, where I was like, you are making an explicit parallel, which is fine, but then you're not doing shit with it.
It's not enough to just put it there. You have to, like, do something with it.
So weird.
Another thing that's kind of in that second half, that's partly Robbie's story, but definitely Robbie's and design together, is I feel like Robbie's, and this goes to the timing thing, Robbie's kind of coming out takes forever.
Yeah, well, there's an entire episode where he's just coming out to a different person every scene. And I, like, for me to note that, I was like, yeah, again, this is a little weird.
And it's weird because I'm not sure I can explain why it doesn't work. I would have to, like, watch it again, and I would probably have to watch OG again. Because one thing we talked about with OG is that how kind of, like, the first half of Isak's season, he's kind of, like, putting up all these, he's, like, caught himself in a trap of his own making.
Yeah.
And the second half is him sort of, like, one by one unlocking each of those chains he has put on himself.
Yeah.
Chain is a better analogy there. And, you know, one is with his friends, one is with Evan, obviously, one is with his parents, you know. And it's delightful to watch and somehow, like, feels like exactly a character growing. And why in this version, well, I guess it's just that it doesn't feel like him growing. It just feels like, oh, now we have to come out to this person because that's, like, plot. And like, I'm like, okay, great, like, these guys reacted well, these don't, okay, what does any of it mean, who cares?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Can I say one thing that I did like?
Please.
In terms of what you're saying, I really like Noor. I love Noor.
Okay, yes. Actually, I think Noor's a great character.
I think Noor's amazing. I think she's kind of in season 4, but she's not really an important character. But I heard, like, she and, like, Brit still hang out.
I was hoping but then she would be
no,
more.
No, but then she's, like, she's not definitely not in season 5, so.
That's a bummer.
If only we could switch Kato with Noor. wouldn't that be great? Because, okay, so here's the other thing, which makes me sad. Yana isn't in season 5. She like, leaves in What the Fuck Down. I think the actress wanted to leave the show. Mm-hmm. And so I kept the entire season being like, I miss your calming presence. Yeah. She's barely in it, but I really missed her. But anyway, yeah, I really like Noor. Can tell you we were all obsessed with Noor since, like episode 1. I think she's really cool, and she fits that art chick, like, totally. Stereotype, but
without,
like,
being a stereotype.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked how, and I think it goes to what we were saying about, like, the nudity and whatever. I kind of liked how physical the relationship is mm-hmm. with Robbie, because I think it is actually working towards his character.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And so
it's challenging to his character in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah, and each of those moments work. And she's a little intense sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's like teenage girl intense. Yeah, like,
yeah, she's an art chick. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think, like, one thing that I noticed, or that I could articulate why I thought she worked so well and so much better than Emma, is that Emma is put as this very, like, naive, she's younger than them. And so the dynamic with Evan has all kinds of awkward, unpleasant things, and
with Isak,
yeah. And then Noor, however, is, like, totally confident, fine,
and, like, she, and, like, so, she, like, saves him from the party and right. takes him, like, and it's, like, a cool adventure,
and
sort of, like, I really like it.
Yeah, yeah. And she has her own baggage that makes her interesting, yep. like when she gets too drunk at the seaside, and
she feels like a fully fleshed character.
Yes.
And a really interesting one. And I can kind of see why Robbie's thinking of, like, well, if it's going to be a girl, it might as well be this one, right?
Right.
She's interesting. Uh-huh. She's pretty.
Totally.
Although, like, I think there's the first moment that they're, like, hardcore making out in a bed and, like, he has to touch a boob. His face is like, how am I here? Why am I here?
What life choices am I making?
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. And so I thought that was one of the sort of best parts that they really did really well.
Yeah.
It felt like a relationship. You know, sometimes with Emma, I'm like, you guys never really dated. Like, calm down.
Totally.
Like, there really was something that she was trying to build with this guy.
Yeah.
And from her perspective, like, it was real, and, you know, she was giving in her all, and meanwhile, he was not there at all.
And, well, and not just from her perspective, but, like, apparently from everyone else's, perspective. They were like, oh, these two are a couple, they make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone seemed to be, like, happy for them and wanted to know the gossip and all that. So all that for, like, felt like a normal part of their group, which is what we were saying about, like, I do think that the group dynamic is really well.
Yeah.
And so that's why even the very gimmicky episode worked for the most part for me, because it was fun to see sort of like that teenage energy at play. And you see that throughout. I noticed it in the Christmas in the final party too.
Yeah.
And that was all really good. Like, even like I liked, it's so funny because you see the specificity of like the gifts that they're giving each other for Christmas. Like, I don't really know you, so I got you a mug.
Or a Bowie t-shirt.
Which
was very thoughtful.
It was very thoughtful. I was like, yeah, good job.
Yeah, and at first I was like, that's very personal gift. And I was like, oh, they go to the same school. Like,
They do, right? Or they did. I honestly could not tell if Sander was supposed to. Because, again, his backstory is not as clear.
Right, yeah.
I was like, is he at like a arts university, or is he still at the art school with Noor? I could not tell.
Yeah.
It was a bit unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so funny, like, when Britt was like, last time he had a Mag episode, he, like, learned all of the Bowie's lyrics, and I was like, I mean, I do that on, like, a Saturday.
I mean, yeah, that was a weird, like, throwing it in his face, and I'm like, I mean, a lot of people probably do that. Like, he's a very popular artist. I did feel very old when they were like, who's Aretha, is it Aretha Franklin they mentioned? First of all, he doesn't know David Bowie. I mean, he barely knows David Bowie.
Yeah.
He's like an oldie for him. Yeah. Like me knowing Beatles or whatever. And then at the beach, they're playing some sort of trivia game, and somebody mentions, I think it's Aretha Franklin, some sort of one of these, like, big women.
Oh, divas. Yeah, when they're playing the... Yeah. Yeah, and, I can't remember, but I remember the scene, but I can't remember,
And Moyo, doesn't have no idea. And I was like, oh, I feel so old.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to talk about Moyo?
Yeah, let's transition to the friends. We could do two of them, Aaron and Moyo together.
Yeah, I was like, I had like the brothers.
The brothers,
as a whole. They do have an actual YouTube channel, and that's another reason that I know that I'm not obsessed with that. What the fuck, because I've never watched it. Oh. And I've watched every YouTube channel for Hey Brispy, and I've watched every YouTube for Scam España too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they post, like, that's really interesting. I should have checked it out to see if, like, we actually see, like, the edits from, like, the stuff that they did with the pranks and whatever, but they do have a channel.
Oh, that reminds me. I did really love whenever they gave the camera to the actors, but, like, when, for the first time I noticed it was Robe, actually, randomly, when Robe is, like, getting out of the party, he, like, uses his point of view camera, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, okay. And then, but when he's on the bike with Noor, that was like a, I loved, he does like a...
No, he's, when he's with Sander on the...
No, a motorcycle. When they're running away from the party. Got it. He like, he's kind of like doing this. And...
Well, he does it with Sander too on the beautiful tunnel.
Oh yeah, yes.
On the beautiful tunnel.
Yes.
I love that tunnel.
Yes. And then they do it at the Christmas party, they do it at the prank. So I kind of loved the gimmick of the, like, it just made the actors so real and... alive, like they were just kind of doing it amongst themselves, and it was great.
Yeah, so having said that, I love the energy of these two, the brothers and the girl squad. They're also my least favorite of both of those.
They're certainly the least interesting, I think.
Yeah, so definitely I think Moya and Aaron and Jens a little bit are just total bros.
Uh-huh.
And so whatever comes with that. Uh-huh. And my thing with Moya is I want to like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you want him to have that Magnus quality of, like, saying the wrong thing, but, like, at his core, he's a good person, and he'll come around.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he's reacting out of lack of...
exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
Something, yeah.
Oh, but that ultimately, like, he's a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, the thing is that and it's... comes back to this is like you cannot untie his reaction to his race, which I don't like either.
Mm-hmm. Like I kind of gave that a fleeting thought, and then I was like, you know what, I'm not even gonna think about it. It's too complicated.
Well, I'm only mentioning because, you know, race is such a huge issue in the next season because he's the love interest of Kato.
Oh, but
they don't even make it his story. And so, anyway.
Right.
Not
the point. Yeah.
So, I'm like, that's why I'm like, I cannot untie it because I don't know. It feels like they do want to set up that race is part of who he is. I mean, obviously it is, but like that the writers are aware of it. But I don't think they're aware of what they're saying by giving him this reaction. This very strong reaction.
Yeah. And it really didn't need to be his. It could have just as easily been Aaron. The only reason I guess maybe they gave it to him logistically is, you know, unless it's some unconscious biases and things like that, is that Aaron has the thing going on with Vilda, which, for the record, did not work for me. Felt super like you guys are trying way too hard on every level, like story, like.
Okay, what worked for me is that it was like an ongoing storyline. Like I like that it was set up from the beginning.
Yeah, as opposed to like Magnus, where it just kind of happens at the end.
Yeah. Like you do get hints from Magnus that like he likes her, like he does have a dominatrix dream of her and whatever.
Right. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
But here it's like. It's, like, set up since literally the first opening scene when he, like, spills a drink on her and she, like, shows him the finger.
Yes. Which other versions have done as well, where they have, like, the boy squad kind of, like, trying to set them up and...
Yeah, and so that was similarly where... And maybe, again, I think this is what happens a lot with What the Fuck, because we've seen so many of the other ones before, we cannot help compare it to not just one, but, like, five different versions. So I, like, sometimes I feel really bad because of that.
I know.
So, because then I'll be watching it and I'll be like, oh, they have a couple of sweet moments... I kind of like I can see it working, and then I compare it with like Vidi and Hugo, or like Carlos and Kiki, who like my God,
yeah,
love them to death. Uh-huh.
Yes, like you would die for them, even though they're like a kind of a small couple, quote unquote, like in the grand scheme of the show. But yes, you're like I'm so into this. Yeah, I totally agree. And I can't even point to a specific thing, I don't think. I did love the scene. My favorite moment, I think, between them is when he says something like, oh, the girls at this party are so much better looking than the girls at our school. And turns out Vilda's
behind
him.
And she's like,
him.
Note it.
Yeah. Just her. I liked her reactions to him a lot. As she could kind of like... tell that he likes her, and then she was like, I don't know how I feel about that, and then and then it kind of like built up from there.
So that's what I mean. I think there were actual moments of in the season, because I wanted to write, can I say that this season is such a drag, like everything is so serious.
Oh my god.
And so I really appreciated having those moments with the two of them, just because you get a little bit of that. It's so those two characters are so hard for me, even what I've seen of season 5, because I don't want to be annoyed with them, and yet I cannot help but be annoyed with them, and I hate it. I hate because I don't know what it is about it.
Yeah, all of Vilda's to one degree or another of success, but Vilda especially like nails that weird quality of being annoying and endearing, like. You know, like, it's like a family reunion, and she's the one who everyone rolls her eyes at, but also everyone is like, oh, everyone loves her. And, yeah, I don't know how much this Vilda or Amber pulls it off.
I did like, sort of, like, that it was this ongoing thing, and that you...
I in principle, in general, like Amber, I haven't seen her, obviously, in season 5. I like her... plainness, like, for lack of a better word, like, she's so like a girl I know. I think for me it was Aaron who just mostly didn't
I think
work.
Maybe that's where I'm coming from, because it's a similar thing. Again, I haven't seen all of season 5. It's a similar thing where he, and I feel bad for him, because the writers also, he's like a little bit of their punching bag.
Oh, man.
And it's the same way in season 5.
Oh man.
Where I'm like, am I supposed to like not be annoyed by him, because he really fucks up all the time. So yeah, I get it. But see, for me, he's the one who I'm like, I want that Magnus charm, and I'm not quite getting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like he's trying.
Yeah, I feel like he's trying.
Yeah.
Going back to Moyo, I did like that they gave him the bipolar mom and the minute by minute, but then it felt like you can't be mad at him for being homophobic.
Yeah, without ever actually addressing that.
Yes. Again, it's like they like kind of talk around it, the two of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they use Milan to get, like, their a little bit of a revenge, which yeah. I think is fun, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I really am drawn to his character, and yet I don't think that the show gives me enough of him, which is a shame.
I think that actor also has a very, like, watchable face, which certainly helps.
I think so.
It's not just that he's good looking, even though he's very cute, but, like, he's one of those faces where you're just like, oh, I want to watch
Yeah,
you.
I think, like, he has a silent yeah. charisma, and yes. I think that's why I'm always like, can you give me more Moyo? Oh, no, don't do that. Don't make him even more homophobic.
As soon as he said that he's Kato's love interest, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. I would totally want to see
And so,
more.
Like, that, I'm actually looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot, because I've stayed up, but... and then that leaves us with Jens. We've talked a little bit about him. Mm-hmm. It seems like you liked the coming out scene. I wouldn't say that people don't like it, but I would say people don't love it either. There's something about him trying to be so nonchalant that takes away from the depth of that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the setting also.
They're like at a cafe. Yeah. I don't necessarily... I mean, it wasn't like a heart... beating moment like
yeah.
it is
and I think,
in other versions.
I think maybe that's what it people are like,
yeah.
okay.
I just
and,
didn't
And so
it,
I feel
yeah.
like sometimes he gets unfairly criticized by the fandom. They all think he's beautiful, obviously, because he's beautiful. He's so beautiful.
Like, too much for the show. He's one of those actors who is like a little bit like, you're in a different universe.
Yeah, I think he's a good friend, guys. It's
I
just
think he's
a different
friend.
Vibe.
Exactly, and I just think he deals with people and situations in his
differently.
Vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
And I suspect that the actor basically just is himself, and that...
Perhaps so.
And that is like... Yeah, it's just... it's just very... it feels very natural to me. Even if it's not his natural personality, he does it really well, because he takes very well to that sort of like aloof, cool, but when he's... like, the people who are in his circle, you know, he goes to bat for them, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Oh, wait, we didn't talk about this when we were talking about Robbie and Sander. The mural!
Okay, what do you think of the mural?
I mean, I don't hate it.
Okay, wait. First of all, two categories of conversation, two subjects here. The quality of the mural, like, in a art
okay,
way.
I think he's made better drawings of Robbie.
Yeah.
So I, like, the choice was questionable in terms of that. You know, they actually did it. Like, they had to do
oh,
it on
I
the
assume.
Street, obviously.
Yeah, I assume.
And it was there for a pretty long time. It was there for a little bit of quarantine because it's in what the fuck town.
So, art aside, I'm sorry, I just busted out laughing when I saw it. Like, that
it's
was
a
my
little bit. It's a little bit.
That was my legitimate
it's
reaction.
It's a little bit of, like, that teen show quality that we were talking about.
Yeah.
It feels like a big gesture from, like, the OC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not against. You know I love
no.
my big gestures on the OC, but it doesn't
yes.
quite fit.
It doesn't, yeah. I don't know. As a gesture of the relationship, I think I was a little bit, like, didn't know what to make of it.
Well, I think it's because I have a problem tracking their relationship.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so because they use this motivation of the hate crime to break them up instead of the mental illness
yeah.
at that point, it's, like, really hard to sort of figure out where everyone's at mentally.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I know we talk about all the time, like, you know, if only they could talk to each other. But I was so frustrated. I was like, why is no one having a conversation here
yeah.
about anything? Like, the two of them cannot.
Actually, now that you pointed out, yeah, I don't know why they, I do not understand. They have a conversation right after where he's like, don't talk to the police. Don't talk to the police.
I am filling in the gaps that it freaked him out. And so he went back to Brit. But I don't know.
But we don't know. And that would have been nice to have it explained.
Yeah,
later,
again, it's like it doesn't have a satisfying payoff.
Yeah. It's just sort of like Sander being a dick. I'm sorry. But like...
Yeah, exactly.
He makes
so
it look really bad.
And like, and that's the point where you're supposed to think he's a dick and then go, oh shit, when you sort of put it all together, right?
With what? That he has bipolar?
Yes, in the original that I'm saying.
In
like,
the original,
like,
yes.
You are always supposed to think he's a dick.
Absolutely, and it works in the original, but like, I don't think that they're trying to make that connection here, or are they?
No, because he doesn't say anything, right? I'm not making it up. He doesn't say anything.
With regards to, like, I did that because I was in, like...
No. With, like, Robbie and mental illness and his mother. And, like, versus...
Oh, yeah. I mean, correct. Like, nothing Robbie says about his mother causes any conflict between them.
Yeah.
But I just mean, like, why does Sander react to that fight and that conversation? Why does he basically... Like, the thing that you said where he freaked out, but I'm like...
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing else that I can understand, so that's why I have to make that connection.
Yeah, I think you're right in that that's the best we can surmise. I just wish that the show had, like, told me. They just kind of move on from it, because he paints a mural. It's a little bit like the reverse of Robbie using a slur against him, and then showing up at school the next day, and yeah. It's like... Well, just moving on.
They do these high stakes, like, high emotion situations, and then they drop it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a good way of putting it.
And so, like, when I was driving here, I was like, I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but Scam France is upfront about, like, what show you're getting.
Right.
And then they follow through on it.
Right.
You know? And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, yes, they have these dramatic instincts.
And they lean into them, and they own them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they follow through on them. Yeah. Totally. While here, there's this, like, little, like, peppering of...
Yes.
Now we're going to have an extreme, like, soap opera-style fight in the street, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, and so those are the parts that I don't connect with. And then... But mm-hmm. then... Because I don't want to be, like, too harsh on it, and I think we've talked about it, they're so good at the one-on-one moments between a lot of the characters.
Yes. Yes, when they are allowing the actors and the dialogue to kind of, like, dive a little deeper, there are beautiful moments.
And,
like,
that's, I think, you know, that's roots of SCOM coming through.
Totally.
And so, like, that's why this was the season where I fell in love with Senna. Like, right. I hadn't seen season two.
Right.
And I was like, I love him. And Zoe and Robbie also, and Milan. Like, and yeah, Jens. Even Yana to a certain extent, although all she does is give him advice to, like, stay away. Because I'm like, none of you people understand mental illness. Stop trying to give him advice. Stop trying to give him advice.
You mean well, but...
I know. Like, that was my frustration with that episode. I was like, you're all trying really hard.
Yeah.
But just let Moyo talk.
Right. The one time we want him to take center stage.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. I think that drama quality that you just described so well is a big part of why I have trouble connecting to it, following it. And also... It's why I don't relate to the drama, because it's like, oh, that was drama, and then now we don't have any more. But also, how do I put this? Like, sometimes the show feels like it's going through the motions, and it's like, oh, we need drama, put in some drama. Okay, now we're on to the next beat of the story, and I was like, but you have to connect those dots.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, and again, I think I get so frustrated because, you know, there's so specific moments that are so strong, the conversations. I go back to how much time they allow Robbie to just be by himself.
Mm-hmm. I actually did really like that.
Which I thought was really smart and really well.
When he breaks down crying after the French toast. I mean, not after the French toast, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that character really shines through, and true to, like, being a character supposed to be very internal, or at least introverted, when he's alone, he's sort of, like, the most, like, I just want to know him.
Exactly.
Like, when he's around other people, he's shuddered.
That was really interesting to watch, and dynamic that worked really well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my god, why can't you lean into those instincts?
Yes, totally. All his scenes with Milan, I remember thinking in one of them, it wasn't the Pride one, it was the one that came after. They get very emotional, like, Milan starts crying. I think twice that happens. And when he's telling him about being attacked and everything, and I was like, I think if you gave me this dialogue on a sheet of paper, I'd be like, this is so cliche and cheesy, like, what is this? But they really make it work.
Those actors are really good.
Like, I got emotional.
Anytime there was a scene where Milan and Robbie were gonna be together, like, in that scene, I knew that I was gonna enjoy it. They have, like, an easy, like, rapport,
yeah.
And, like, they very quickly built, like, this language of, like, looks and
yes.
smirks
yeah.
and whatever. And so, like, apart from that, for, like, basically, Milan very quickly tries to hug him that first time, and Robbie's like, don't hug me. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, you're just gonna have to get used to it, and he gets hugged. Yeah. And after that, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in.
He knows just how to get past, he knows it's okay to get past exactly. this boundary, and he knows how to do
it. Yeah, so I really like the flat dynamic, we always call it the colic tea, if that's what we do.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely adore every single time Senna was talking to Milan.
Oh yeah, they had a really good vibe. Yeah,
One of my top moments is Milan being like, "No one's gonna get me croissant. No one's gonna get me croissant."
Oh yeah, and he's like, "I'll get you. How many do you want?
How many do you want?" He's like, "Really?"
Yes. That was sweet. Yes, those are great. Okay, so one thing that randomly in this season made me understand retrospectively something from season 2 that I think wasn't super well done in season 2, but now I'm like, oh, now I understand what you were doing when Robbie apologizes to Milan for what happened at the party last year, I guess, or I don't know how long the time has been in their world, and that's when it like clicked. Because I remember us criticizing that moment in season 2 and feeling like, what are they doing? Like, why is Milan such a weird, pervy dick? I don't know what's going on. And then here I was like, oh, they were trying to kind of subtly, in little marks, ditto marks, kind of like hint at Robbie's conflict and like his kind of
they throughout try to have these little moments where they want to sort of remind you that Robbie's going through
this is coming
internal conflict and whatever. Well, yeah. that's what the girls are apologizing for too, that he's like, oh, I just thought you were drunk again.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't mind the apologies or anything, but it was just that like it was weird how looking back on it, I had interpreted that moment about being about Milan. And that's totally wrong. It was supposed to be about Robbie. Which is fine. It was maybe just my misinterpretation. But I was glad to clarify.
And I feel like we have to talk about Soen.
Okay, yeah. That's our next big topic.
Yes. So...
thoughts?
Zoe and Zane live together. And the season arc is essentially... Zoe being like, never move in with your boyfriend when you're still in high school. No, I'm kidding. But
I mean,
it is definitely a lesson.
It should be the lesson.
It is definitely a lesson. I mean, I think that they did a good job of highlighting the differences between their personalities and where they are in life and how that is a conflict. And they're very young and they don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I also know they get back together and want the fuck down, so I don't take it too, too harshly.
I think for me, I felt a little... it was a rough start for me with them because it felt a little, I don't know, like paint by numbers or something. Like, it felt... It's that quality of where they're telling, not showing.
Yeah.
And it was very like, oh, here we have the scene where she's complaining because he's snoring. And then here's the scene where she's a little jealous and he's kind of being a... not an absentee boyfriend, but like he's in college, so he's living a different life.
Yeah,
I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
And it felt a little like, okay, where is this going? By the time they introduce the letter and
Victor.
The Victor storyline, I was on board with it again.
Because yeah, I think that part is much stronger.
Yeah.
Than the by the beats, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved how much they reacted exactly in character.
Yes, 100%.
They were so consistent. I was like, I admire this.
Again, a rarity when it comes to sewing. This is like the last time she's going to be written in character.
Really? Oh my god, that's so disappointing. Because I love... like,
yeah,
really,
and again, that doesn't mean, like, she's flawed. That's what we're talking about. Like, she does not handle this situation well.
Not at all.
But she's Zoe.
And in fact, if I had seen this without having seen season 2, I would be like, what the hell is her problem? Like, why is she like this? But having seen it, I get it. Yeah, Sene's reaction is to, like, be way too pushy, way, like...
yeah, it was... big. I thought... Again, another moment that I thought was so well is to see him fail at communicating with her and then 5 seconds later look at Milan being able to make the exact same point and get through to her.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I thought that was really fascinating to see that shift in that dynamic.
Yeah. Which is a real problem for a relationship.
Yes.
And so yeah, as much as he reacts as like being way too pushy and like overbearing, she reacts by completely
shutting down
wanting to run away as fast and as far as possible, which she does by the end. I thought the breakup scene was really beautiful, like, yeah, one of the best in the show in terms of emotions. I love that you see it from Robbie's perspective. Which at first when it started, I was like, oh, that's a weird choice. But it actually gave such an intimacy both to them, but also to, like, the collective as a whole.
Yeah, and that's what I liked. I think that's what I really liked, yeah, about it as a whole, too. Like, and that everyone had sort of connections to each other, mm-hmm, that felt authentic.
Yeah.
And real.
And you could feel how those connections, like, built up the foundations of their friendship or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I thought that was really well done. I do happen to know that they get back together. You have told me. So I'm also not too distraught, though I think I would have been if I, yeah, had just watched it.
I'm constantly wondering what the plan was before What the Fuck Down.
Right, what were they planning to do in season, yeah, 4?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very intrigued by that. But yeah, I thought it was a very sad, heartfelt breakup.
One of my favorite lines in the season is Senna going to telling Robbie, you have to take this face-to-face, Robbie.
Yeah, face-to-face.
And he's so intense about it that I was like, whoa, man.
I know, I love that moment too. He's like, well, I can, he wants a face-to-face.
So good. Victor, let's mention him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's realistic that Victor would show up and try to manipulate the situation, uh-huh, because that's what that type of person does.
Uh-huh.
So, and it didn't feel like it was taking away from the season.
No.
I was fine with it being there. I was fine with how they sort of fitted it in with everything.
Yeah, the balance of the three stories.
Exactly. I thought it was good. I absolutely love the detail of Senate holding a knife when his...
Okay, that was, like, I mean, I like it, but that was intense. Like,
I know! I was like, man, but, I mean, this is one of the times where they set it up, he's doing the dishes, and yes, then there's, like, whatever.
Focus, okay, I will say that when they are doing dishes,
they really focus on that knife.
They make sure you notice it, and I was like, that something's gonna happen with that knife, and I'm very nervous right now.
Yeah!
And it's also an intense-looking knife.
I was gonna say, the intensity of those moments felt really good.
Yeah.
And as a character, I really like Senna's, like, no, why would I ever, mm-hmm, listen to you? Like, I know who you are. But, like, by this point, like, my eyes have been opened.
Yeah. Yeah, I am such a bleeding heart that I, like, really want to believe Victor. And I think that's part of maybe the goodness of the moment is that at best you are, I mean, at worst you're just, like, totally with Senna. I mean, I don't mean worse in, like, a bad way. I just mean, like, you're either totally with Senna and you're like, fuck this asshole, or you have some kind of conflict where you're like, but Senna, I want you to, like, make up with your brother and, you know, like, you always want to see families back together.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
he has changed. People can change. Like, I'm such a, you know, I want that apology to have been real. But when he says, when Senna says, oh, yeah, the police now want to do something about this. The court wants to do something, and suddenly you show up to apologize, yeah, now. Like,
yeah, I thought the same thing, where you're, yeah, like, on this journey where they're like, well, okay, and then, but yeah, like, Senna's there to be like, no,
yeah,
like, I know what's happening.
Yeah, and he certainly has a lot more experience with Victor than we do. So I'm very curious to see where that goes, if anywhere. And as a conflict for the two of them, bringing Victor back in felt totally good and does something that OG didn't. I mean, in a great way.
Yeah, I think so. It's great. I really appreciate being able to see this conflict and see Zoe through this journey, because,
yeah,
I feel like we do go through so much of this journey and then we're kind of left to just be told about it,
yeah,
in OG. And here, I liked experiencing
totally. I do think that the stories are well balanced in how much time is dedicated, but I like it so much, and the two actors are so good. I almost wish there was more of it, that was more central to this narrative, but that I think on the whole would have been a wrong choice. Like, I do think the way they balanced it is good.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly bring back, I mean, we kind of talked about it, that I liked that the way they handled sort of, you know, like I said at the beginning, Robbie's mom sort of, oh, this is a new escalation sort of in, like, her mental, not escalation, but, like, she's just checked herself in. Mm-hmm. That's sort of, like, the change of the status quo. But I found it really interesting that we, that it didn't feel like enough in terms of the mom and the relationship and the dad and the relationship either. Yeah. Like, I liked what I saw, but it didn't feel satisfying either.
You know what? I didn't notice it until you just said it, but I think you're right. And I think a good indicator is that scene where he's showing up to meet his, well, I guess mom and dad, but...
It's just his dad.
Oh, just his dad?
Just his dad.
And that's a scene, I mean, in the original, it's in the church and stuff, but, like, it's so emotional, and, like, and here
I
was just, like...
And here, no, I was, like, your poor dad, you, like, you made eye contact, and then you walked away.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, it's a little, like, okay, like, it's just another check mark.
Yeah, and so, exactly, it felt a little bit like that. I like that, like, he does go to visit her, but then... Sometimes he doesn't go to visit her.
Yeah.
And I know that's supposed to be a reflection of where he's at, but that's another moment where I was also having to fill in blanks to track how he was feeling.
I wish we could have, like, had a scene with her.
Exactly. I kind of wish.
Even though that's not in the OG, but...
Yeah, but, yeah. But it's, again, we know a little bit more details about what is going on, so, like...
You know what it is? I think it's the wanting of the specificity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that, I just kind of wanted to mention that. And then I wanted to mention, Yasmina, because I think we talked about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Maybe we weren't recording at the time.
I think remember. We weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. I was go ahead, sorry.
I mean, I just really like her, but there's so little of her. And so that's one of the, not criticisms, but one of my sadnesses, because he really isn't in season 5 either. So, like, that's not really a friendship that they've spent time building.
Mm.
And I think part of it is, especially for season 5 at least, it's, like, acting schedule and COVID and all of that. And I get that. I'm sympathetic. But then I also feel like maybe they didn't feel like there was a need because they hadn't built that relationship.
Those two didn't have as much chemistry.
It really just was, like, we're classmates who get along.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're in the sort of vague same friendship circles. We run into each other. Yeah.
And one of the things that I love... That is throughout, because apparently this is one of the things that I think the actress is Noura in actual real life, Yasmina.
Mm-hmm.
She, for her, it was important that Yasmina does not go to the parties. Like,
oh, yeah. And yes. So. She's very apart.
She's very apart.
Not just from, but from the whole girl squad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so we do see her at the party at the beginning, and then she's like, I'm leaving. And he's like, already? And she's like, yeah. And so it's, I thought it was a really interesting setup for sort of what is to come.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that you, yeah, I feel like it's a detriment that you don't get that much Yasmina, because maybe they were like, well, if she's not going to go to parties, how do we
include her?
Yeah.
And they maybe should have made more of an effort.
Yeah.
She's never, even by my memory of the earlier seasons, like, she's not super integrated into the group in a way that is not good.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a failing of the show, not an intentional choice.
Yeah, and again, I don't think there's anything wrong with the actress being like, I think that as a choice, this is the thing we should do, and that writer saying, great, but then you have to figure out a way.
Yeah, though I will say, I think the actress by nature is a little, like, she's one of those people who's a little hard to read.
Yeah, she is.
And... That's fine, but, like, they need to work with that. If they've cast her, they have to make that work for them. I believe we've run through that whole list. Are there any, like, random things along the way? I have a couple that don't, like, fall into any category.
Oh, Noor's Dutch accent? She was Dutch. Just like Milan.
Just like Milan.
Yeah. And she would make, like, little jokes here and there about... Or people would note her accent, or she would, like, make...
Oh, yeah, there's that whole little, like, dialogue over...
The tree?
Yes,
and
yeah.
And then she makes, like, so there's that, and yeah, so...
Okay, so one of my, like, random weird... random things is, like, they say the word asshole a whole lot, and I guess in Flemish Dutch, it sounds like ekel. They're saying ekel, which made me laugh because that's, like, Logan Eccles' family name.
Oh, yeah.
What a weird connection for me to make, but it totally made me laugh about that.
Okay, wait, one last thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I like the drawings of, like, things that I like about, like, Sander and Robbie. I like ZeroStarsBooking.com, like, where's the manager? Yeah. I like the David Bowie thing. I like, what are the other things I like? I like the Minute by Minute, always solid. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but yeah, it works. We talked about the mural. How do I feel about Chernobyl?
Oh, yeah. I think I missed it in the first reference. Maybe I was looking down and writing notes or something. Like, I vaguely was aware of Chernobyl, but I didn't, like, have any, I didn't, like, have any, and then it got mentioned, like, twice more, and I was like.
Yeah, it's, like, one of their things.
I was like, what, I do not connect with this, this is making me feel weird.
I'm also mixed on it, because I'm like, this feels like a weird choice to make,
like,
it.
Would we make it, would we be saying, like, my Hiroshima? Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? So like, weird.
It was a bad thing.
Yeah, so it was Robbie who says it first. Okay. When, after he goes to find Xander, after he used a slur on him. When Xander shows up to the bikes.
Yeah, okay, okay,
and
yeah.
He's all like, you have 5 minutes. And so he's trying to explain himself, and he's like, you know, but, like, when I'm around you, my mind is, like Chernobyl.
Yes, okay.
And yeah, I think it works in that moment. Yes. I'm okay with it. Yeah. It's the fact that it, like, becomes a thing.
Continuing joke. Yeah, or
yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know, this is weird, guys. Like, and, like, you're real close to where it happened, too. No, like,
you're not even in America.
No. So, yeah. It felt a little, like, not in the best taste.
Yes.
For this to be, like...
Yeah.
This isn't, like, yellow curtains.
Totally.
So it's a little... Or like, multiple universes, right, which I thought worked. And, like, I liked this sort of gimmick that was set up of, like, well, what about in this universe, right? Mm-hmm. What are, like, in this universe, we're together. In this universe, this happens. Like, I'm gonna be here every universe. Like, in this one, I'm always gonna be here. Like, I thought that worked as a way for them to communicate when they've struggled so much to communicate their feelings. it was, like... A language, a shared language, but Chernobyl is like a little bit more iffy on.
Yeah, could have used less of that one.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention it.
I think the only other thing that I was thought was kind of an interesting thing was the Milan's conversation with Robbie about Pride, the Pride Parade.
Yeah,
and just in context of some conversations happening about it today and how different it is from the first time that I watched it, where I think when I first watched it, I didn't really think. I mean, I was, like, with Milan, obviously, but I didn't really, like, think twice about it. And then, so two conversations have been happening. I don't know how much you're, like, aware of this, but, like, two conversations happening on, like, lefty Twitter about Pride in general. One is the appropriation of Pride by corporations that do evil things.
I've seen some of those.
So, like, pinkwashing, basically. So, like, Raytheon puts, like, a rainbow flag, and it's, like, you fucking kill people. I'm sorry. Like, don't do that. And specifically Pride Parade... you know, we'll have, like, a Disney float, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of intersects with another...
When Disney has had every single news cycle, they're like, our first gay character ever.
Right. I know, every movie they come out is, like, their first gay
and
character.
And so, like, I can't help but be like, you just want to be able to edit this out in China.
Yeah.
Like...
you want to have, like, one scene... Wasn't it Beauty and the Beast where, like... two men dance or something,
yeah.
And it's literally on screen for 30 seconds, and you can just take
it
out, and nothing will matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Back to your conversation about Pride.
Yeah, and so another kind of, like, conversation that's been happening specifically around Pride Parade, besides the corporations, though relatedly, especially when it comes to Disney, is, I don't know how this started, but I guess somebody made a comment on some online platform that was like, we really shouldn't have kink at Pride.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about
because,
that conversation too.
Yeah, because, like, it's a family thing, and people were like, are you fucking kidding me?
Do you not understand the history of your movement?
Exactly.
Although I think even that relates to what you're saying about corporations. Like, I've been seeing a lot of people today being like, I 100% agree with you with this co-opting, but I also remember when they wouldn't touch our money because they thought it was gonna get them sick.
Right.
And so it's like,
which is, like, fine if you're talking about, like, I don't know, Carvel ice cream.
Yeah.
But not when you're talking about companies.
I agree.
That
I think there's a
kill
line.
People,
yeah,
including
I think,
gay people.
I was gonna say, I think there's a line. So I do.
I'm sorry, I'm just a very, like, anti
of course.
Military, so I get very passionate about it. But so this conversation is like, it's both like a whitewashing, using gay pride to whitewash crimes of corporations, and also whitewashing
Pride Parade. Yeah.
So I just thought it was interesting to listen to Milan make this passionate argument where he, like, more than other even S-keeled characters, gets very kind of emotional. Like, he gets teary-eyed again, which is very his character, and it checks out. And just to hear him make that argument in light of this other conversation that's happening.
I thought it was very timely. Even when I was hearing it too, I was like, well, you know, there is something that feels different when you hear this during Pride Month.
Yeah. And of course, we're actually
watching
it now.
Because of that, there are all these conversations happening online.
Yeah. And I wish more people would, would hear Milan and recognize that people had to fight really hard fights and to be allowed to be themselves. So when someone comes along, even a gay person, and says, hey, maybe you should tone it down a little, it's a giant fuck you to the movement. Okay, that's my soapbox.
Yeah, I just watched the finale of Pose, which was, it was interesting. I mean, I don't think it's perfect in any way. Like, it's really interesting how in a lot of ways a happy ending is still framed in a very heteronormative, like, lens. So, like, the happy ending for, like...
Is marriage and a baby?
Yes! Literally! Yes! For, Papi and, no, I can't remember the name of the actress. India. What's her name? Angel. For Papi and Angel, like, the happy ending is they get married. Mm-hmm. Legally, like, they kind of, like, he kind of, like, uses, and this is, like, the fantasy part of a Ryan Murphy show, but I don't, this is one of those times where I don't mind it as much. Uh-huh. Like, she's like, I want to get legally married, but her birth certificate says male. Oh, uh-huh. So they use the passport because they think that's a little harder to, and he's using his Dominican charm and, like, charming the teller the entire time, and it kind of, like, works, and they get it, whatever. And then he... kind of conveniently also there's a child involved, I'm so happy for them. That wedding episode was like beautiful, blah 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 blah, but it's so, you cannot stop and still think Ryan Murphy frames what a happy ending is as like marriage and a baby.
And, like, I know lots of gay people who want that, and that's fine and great, and they should absolutely have the right to have that, but also it's, there's something off about in public, like in media and in pop culture and or in culture in general, to only want to integrate gayness into for lack of a better word, into like heteronormativeness somehow, as opposed to maybe we should break up our like heteronormativeness with a little like spice or something. It's like a weird way of putting it, but like.
Yeah, I do love how one of the sort of arguments over and over and over of Pose, though, is that ballroom is one of, if not only, the only spaces where you get to be yourself, mm-hmm. and it belongs to only you and this community and no one else, and no one can kind of come in and take that away. I have this very complicated relationship with Pose because I don't think it's always 100% there. But I do love this mix of awareness of, because it's like all in the 80s and the 90s, but also like hopefulness where you don't usually find it in a show where like half the characters are HIV positive and trans women, and they get to have happy endings and they get to find love and they get to live. Right. And so I love that. And so I ignore some of its flaws because I like the good things so much.
I've heard like mixed things and it's been on my list, but not necessarily.
Like season one has like some white people and then season two, they're like, we tricked you. They're gone.
So should I start with season two? Is that what you're telling me? Is it better than season one?
I can't remember. They have like Evan Peters and James Van Der Beek in season one.
James Van Der Beek? Oh my god, I haven't heard that name in forever. One time he came into the office where I was working and I was like straight out of college and like it had been relatively close to when Dawson's Creek was on. And I did a double take when he walked in and I could see the blush on his face rising. Like he was so embarrassed. He was a really nice guy, it turned out. But yeah, anyway, sorry, side note.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was kind of it. I'm like, I do actually usually recommend it to people. Yeah. I think I like it.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that was a good discussion.
All right, well, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. I hope you don't hate us too much.
Yeah, I thought you have this. I really, literally, like, enjoy this season, but I think for me, like, you know, criticizing things I love is a thing I do.
That's why we're annoying film students. Not students, but
So
picking it apart is so much fun. The more you love it, the more you do it.
Yep. So thank you so much. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Good night.
Bye.